will bring us the message this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really nice to be here among brothers and sisters and in the Lord. And as I look around your church, it's just so familiar to my church in Jonesboro, and with your banners and songs you sing, and I really appreciate that. God has a way to make us feel comfortable. So good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to just offer a bit of introduction, since most of you don't know me. My name is Kathy Gardner, and I'm a member of the First Baptist Church in Johnsonburg. That's a little paper mill town about 2 hours north from here. My husband, Mike, is with me today, and we reconnected at a company reunion several years ago, and that's the reason that I'm empowered today. I learned early on I'd never get him out of Center County, so if we were going to be together, I was going to be the one to move, and I'm here in Howard now. It's a great blessing for me to be able to share and worship with you today, and I thank every one of you for that privilege. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come together to worship you, to honor you, and give you the glory. Please take the words that are spoken here today and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of the listeners, that we might grow in love and understanding of you and of your great love for us. Teach us how we might share that great love with others in service to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A grandfather had taken his young grandson out into the woods with the thought that he would share the wisdom of the forest and the animals that lived there. Grandfather had spent much time in the forest, and he had gathered a keen knowledge of all the critters and their habitats. As he tried to point out many things to his grandson, the young boy became frustrated, and he said, "Grandpa, I just can't see what you're seeing." So his grandfather reached into his jacket pocket, and he pulled out his binoculars, and he handed them to his grandson. When the lad first looked through the binoculars, everything was a blur. But as he adjusted them, the vision became clearer. He declared, "I see it now, Grandpa, I see it." Just as this grandfather wanted his grandson to see his teaching clearly, Jesus wants us to see his teaching clearly. In a way, learning through the parables is like looking through binoculars. Jesus taught with parables so that those with ears to hear, those who were seriously seeking the truth, could find spiritual insight and grow to have a greater understanding of God the Father. He sincerely wanted us to understand who God is and of his great love for us. Today, as we look at the parable of the workers in the vineyard, may we come away with a greater understanding of the heart of God and of his kingdom. I'm going to read this, and it's in Matthew 20, 1 through 16. And how nice, you have it up there on the screen, and that's just for you. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to work in his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Jesus introduces the parable as he likens the kingdom of heaven to a landowner who goes out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. A set rate of pay is agreed upon, and he sends them into his vineyard. These first two sentences set the stage, and as we weave our way through the parable, keep in mind it is about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God in Luke 17:20 when he says to the Pharisees, as they ask him when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." And in Romans 14, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men." He was not speaking about the condition in the first part of this about the Pharisees' hearts. He was speaking generically. Nor was he speaking about a physical location. It is an internal spiritual kingdom built in the hearts of men, consisting of their wills being in line with the will of God. It is a kingdom ruled by God, with power and authority to rule given to Jesus. Jesus' arrival on earth meant that the kingdom itself had arrived and was already present. The landowner is introduced at the beginning of the parable. He goes out early in the morning seeking to hire. What kind of person is this landowner and who is he? And it seems the parable would compare him to the Lord God, to Jesus. He owns vineyards, which would cause us to think he's wealthy. He's in charge, a man of authority. One could believe that he had integrity because the workers that he called would follow him and they would go to work for him. That would require their trust. It's important to note that he goes in search of workers. He doesn't wait for workers to come to him. He goes looking for them. And as we move through the parable, we will see his generosity, his caring, his sense of fairness, his heart. And so he goes out early in the morning and he hires workers. And he goes again at the third hour and hires more workers. In fact, throughout the day at the sixth hour and the ninth hour and the 11th hour, he goes out to hire workers. He is diligent in seeking workers. And let's note that at the end of the day, the ones that he hires are ones that no one else would hire. So we could think that it's about providing for the workers, possibly. He wants to give them work because they're seeking work. We can also talk about the harvest being plentiful and ripe. And Matthew 9:37 talks about the harvest when it says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So we might think about it, that as the disciples. where the disciples go out and teach about God to other people. Well, now we're where the landowner has his workers. And we would think that there are probably a variety of people. If we want to look at this with a critical eye, we can assume that the ones hired in the morning might have been more ambitious. Maybe they were the get-up-and-go kind of people. And we might think that the ones hired later might not have been so ambitious. But maybe those hired later had other obligations. Maybe they had somebody sick that they were taking care of. Maybe they had chores that they needed to do. And then there were the ones that no one else had hired. Why was that? Were they the undesirable? Or was there no work for them? Regardless, the landowner went seeking men several times throughout the day and hired workers that were willing to come to him. Let's consider for a moment what is not said here. It doesn't say that the landowner required certain degrees or certain trades. It doesn't say the workers had to have certain tools. It doesn't say they had to be a certain ethnic group or they had to speak a certain language. The landowner was willing to take in all those who were willing to come to him and serve him. He receives them, whether they are early or late, in coming to the marketplace. He took those that no one else hired. He receives all that are willing to come to him. The characteristics of the landowner exemplify the characteristics of a loving God and his kingdom, as it says in Romans 10:11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we continue on to the end of the day. It's time for compensation. The owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Now there's a problem. The workers who were hired first, after seeing the wage given to the latecomers, assume that they will be given additional reward over and above what was agreed upon. When this doesn't happen, they begin to grumble against the landowner, believing that they are being treated unfairly, for they have worked a full day in the heat of the day. What is fair? Think about that. What is fair to you? I'm going to tell you a little story that happened a long time ago. There was a little girl who came to her mother one day, and she was so happy because Daddy had given her a dollar for the work that she had helped him do. And as an afterthought, she said to her mother, but Timmy got $2 because boys get paid more than girls. Needless to say, Mommy marched right outside to have a long talk with Daddy. So what is fair? Who decides the standard? The way things are decided in this parable seems to go against the grain. And I struggled with this for a long time when I first read this. It seems counter to the human way of understanding. In the case of the workers, it is God who decides the standard. And as he says in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the standard applied to the compensation in this parable, a higher way, a higher standard, God's standard, not our standard. Observe that nobody was cheated. While it may be argued, based on worldly expectations, that some were overpaid, nobody was underpaid. The complaint of the early workers offered no evidence of wrongdoing. It was a complaint born in the hearts of jealousy and envy. None of them received less than they expected, and many received more. Paul no matter when they come in, are equally precious to God. No matter if one comes early or late, our compensation is the same, based on God's mercy and grace. And what we might earn, no matter when we come, cannot compare to the bonus that God offers to each and every one of us. He welcomes us into his kingdom with open arms, and the angels rejoice at our coming. Redemption in the kingdom of heaven. And here we see the generosity of the landlord and the powerful grace of God. He does not become angry at those who are discontent. He gently says, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" Redemption in the kingdom of heaven is not based on how long you have served. It is based on the grace of God and the quality of your response to his grace. The last to enter the kingdom have full remission of sins and hope, just as those who are veterans. It is all about grace, not when you enter or some human standard of rank. It is not dependent on time. Whether we accept God's gift of grace and salvation early in our lives or later, it is about the heart, acting as a chosen one from the time you start. Just as it says in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Romans 3:22 reminds us, "The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Jesus ends the parable by saying, "So the last will be first and the first will be last." In Matthew 20:25-28, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Following Christ's example chooses the way of humility. His willingness to submit to the Father's will, even to the point of death, is an example of servanthood and life lived out to its fullest. It is an example that he asks us to imitate. I want to offer this today. No doubt I stand among many Christians, believers here. But if there is one among you who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and entered the kingdom of heaven, I urge you to do it today. Do not delay. Talk with a deacon. I will talk with you. Talk with someone who is familiar and understands salvation and God's redemption and his wonderful love and grace toward us. And let us remember, as we are children of the living God and members of his kingdom, we have his presence in our daily lives. In everything we do, we are blessed, as it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And finally, just a few last thoughts. Do you think these workers might have handled things differently if they had known the end of the story and the way that the landowner was going to deal with them? Do you think the ones that were hired last had hearts full of gratitude and understood the grace that was given to them? I often wonder what Job might have done as he went through so many trials and tribulations, how he might have handled all of that, and he did an excellent job when we look at Job and his story. He just did a wonderful job in remaining faithful to God and trusting in God. But might it have been a little easier for him if he had known as he went through that what God's plan and purpose was? Sometimes in life, our ideas and our expectations are not always in line with God's plans. Remember, our ways are not always His ways. But when our wills line up with God's will, there are great blessings. And I have another little story to tell you. There was an avid football fan. He was having trouble controlling his blood pressure when he'd watch these football games. He'd get so involved and so interested in them. And it got to a point where his blood pressure would just skyrocket while he was doing this. So his doctor suggested that in a last-ditch effort to help him, he said, well, how about if we have your wife record the games, and then she can tell you what the score is, and then when you watch the game, you know the outcome. And that might help so that you don't have all this trepidation while you're watching this. And they did it, and it worked. In our lives, as we trust God with the ultimate outcome, we can be certain that He carries us. In every situation in our lives, as we pass through the storm, we can know that God is with us and He knows the outcome. And I love what it says in Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. We can expect God's grace, His faithfulness, and His comfort as we go through the storms of life. Be assured that we serve a living God. Liberty Baptist Church is going through some changes now. As I understand, you seek a new pastor. That is a task. But as you seek the pastor for your congregation, know that God is preparing the heart of just the right person for you. He knows what is the future of your church. His faithfulness and His blessings will endure. He knows the outcome. And I will remember you in prayer and pray that God will bless you all. Amen.